Common Salvation, the Sermons and Other Thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached December 16th and 17th, 2024, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas, and Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie. The text for the day was 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Little Johnny got up to the plate. His idealistic eyes could just imagine the ball being launched off his bat and flying over that short fence that was way out there in center field. The pitch came and Johnny swung with all of his might. The ball and the bat cracked together like thunder in Johnny's ears. He watched as the ball flew away from the bat. And yet it did not fly over that fence. In fact, it did not even make it to the outfield. The second baseman caught the ball and then threw it back quickly to the pitcher. As Johnny came off the field, he threw his bat and yelled, "I quit." If he could not hit it out of the park, why even keep trying? Almost all Christians have confessed that on this side of eternity, we will never be perfect. That is most certainly true. In our tradition, we say in the words of confession week after week throughout our lives that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, quoting the book of 1 John. Yes, we are taught that to claim that we could become perfect or are perfect would make God out to be a liar. But let me ask you today, does our confidence in that truth sometimes lead us into apathy about growing in holiness in our own lives? It is almost as if sometimes we say, "I'll never be perfect, and I've grown quite comfortable with not being perfect. I've even picked out a few of my favorite not perfect things to keep rather close to myself." Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians today should shake us from such comfort. He prays for those Christians there that the God of peace would sanctify them completely. Yes, that he would make them holy through and through. He prays that their whole spirit and soul and body would be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he prays for entire sanctification for them, that every last nook and cranny of their life would be holy, that their spirit and their soul and their body and whatever else one might consider a person to have would be made holy and would be kept holy until the last day when Jesus, our judge, arrives. He prays that God would complete that work in the Thessalonians in preparation for Christ's coming. Does that thought make you uncomfortable? Do you think perhaps I'm going a little too far? Do you think I have forgotten some other verses? Well, remember two things. First, I have already made quite clear that the scriptures say that getting to a point of perfection prior to the appearing of Jesus is simply not possible. But secondly, note I have this conviction that we should pray for complete holiness because of the inspired words that the Apostle Paul wrote, that same Paul that assures us that that work will never be done completely here on earth. So think about this. The fact that Paul knew that the Thessalonians would never be completely perfect in this world did not stop him from praying that they would be. It did not stop him in this letter and his other letters to exhort those under his care to live lives of holiness, to cast off the works of darkness, and to live in the light of Christ more and more. So, yes, we can be absolutely confident that we will never be perfect in this world, but we can be equally confident that we have been called to grow in holiness. We are confident of the first thing because we know ourselves. We know the sinful nature with which we were born, and we know that the flesh still affects us even after we have been called into Christ's family through baptism and belief. We are the reason we will never be perfect. But the confidence that we will grow in holiness does not come from a conviction about us, but rather a conviction about God. As Paul said, "He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Listen to the ideas found in Scripture that remind us of this truth. The scriptures say things like this: as we cling to what is good and as we stay away from that which is evil, God is working to make us more and more holy. As we behold our Lord, we are being transformed day by day to look more like Jesus. As we hear and read and inwardly digest his word, we are made holy by his word, for his word is truth. We are taken from what we used to be apart from Christ, and we are made into those who delight in the things of the Spirit. As we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, God works in us so that we will and work the things that he is pleased with in our lives. Yes, connected to the vine Jesus, we are to bear much fruit. Since we are baptized, how could we continue to walk in sin? Yes, God, who has begun this good work in us, will bring it to completion on the last day. Anyone who has the hope of eternal life with Jesus purifies himself even as Jesus is pure. As you can see, the scriptures are full of passages that speak about the way in which we are to grow in holiness. Don't sell God short. I know that when you say you will never overcome this sin or that sin that is in your life, you think you are saying something about yourself, that perhaps you have fought that battle before, maybe many times, and have lost. You know how quickly the anger is kindled, the lust is ignited, the greed is fueled. You know how quickly you can say those words you know you should have never uttered. You know how one drink so often has turned into far too many. You know how badly you want to know and then share the latest scoop. But your sanctification, your being made holy, is not a question of what you can accomplish. It is about what God can do and what he has promised to do. So when you decide that some sin will just remain and rule in your life, you're really making a confession that God himself, who dwells in you, does not have the power to overcome that sin. You are saying that his word and his spirit are impotent against the particular power of that sin. You are saying that the God of peace cannot sanctify you completely. Is that what you want to say? Is that what the word we heard today says? The season of Advent, as we have mentioned, is all about preparation. Yes, preparing for Christmas, but also preparing for Christ's return, God himself preparing us for those things. He prepares us by calling us away from sin and repentance. He prepares us by washing away every last sin in the blood of Jesus, which was shed on the cross. But he also prepares us for that day by making us holy day by day, by making us holier week by week. The gift of his Spirit, which he has given to us, not only gives us faith, but makes us holy as well. Oh, it's not some sort of linear process where our holiness gets a little holier every day by a certain percentage. But each day, the Spirit is active doing his work if we allow it, if we are where he promises he will do that work, in his word, in prayer, in the community of believers. And so, yes, therefore, over time, we are conformed into the image of Jesus, the Holy One. So today, let us say an amen to the prayer of Paul. Not for the Thessalonians, for their time is done, but now for us. For at times we must admit that perhaps growth in holiness is not ours because we have not asked for it from the Lord, and therefore we do not have it. After all, the scriptures are clear that the Father promises to give the Holy Spirit to all who ask, and he is the one who makes us holy. Let us not let false ideas stand in the way of God doing the work he intends to do with us and is able to do with us. Let not what we know about ourselves rob us of what we know about our God. Let us ask God to do just what he promises, just what he is capable of doing. Let us ask him to make each of us and all Christians completely sanctified. Oh yes, we do know that that work will not be final until he arrives. But we also know that this work is ongoing every day, begun in our baptisms and completed on the last day, yes, but ongoing every day in between as we cling to God who is good and as we flee the evil one. The God of peace, you see, has made peace between himself and us through his Son, and now he makes us holy day by day by giving us the righteousness of his Son as our own. Yes, God, the God of peace, is faithful, and he will do it. Just because we have not hit it out of the park yet does not mean that we quit, that we say nothing like that is ever possible. No, not especially when it is God's work and not our own to make us completely holy. And so then my prayer for you is the prayer of the author of the book of Hebrews. May the God of peace, who led up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in every good work, that you may do his will. May he perform in you whatever will be pleasing in his sight through Jesus the Messiah. Glory forever and ever be his. Amen.